Welcome to Modcast, a civilization podcast focused on modding.
Kenneth Portland,
Tony Keel,
Peter Steenbeker,
Bauta Snyders,
with guest co-host, The Capo.
Blue squiggles, everyone?
I have blue squiggles.
Well, what goes good with blue squiggles?
What kind of wine? Blue squiggles?
Yeah, what kind of wine would you do with it? Anyways.
Boons.
Boons? Oh.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're drinking right now, buddy?
No, I'm not. I'm not wasted.
Just buzzing.
Football's only been on for 2 hours. I'm not.
Oh, okay. You got a few more to go before you pass out.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, we got a great show. By the way, this is season 3 of the Modcast. Who would have thought, huh?
2010, big year.
Yeah. 2010 is here. Well, not, you know, pretend it's here right now because we're recording early, but
yeah.
2010.
By the time you hear this,
Russia, the Soviet Union, was already sent the second expedition to Jupiter to find out what happened to the first mission and find out what made Hal malfunction and kill all the astronauts.
All right. 2 more years until the world ends.
Yeah, well, that's fine. We got 2 years to go to Jupiter and then the world ends, but... Well, you got to pick which fiction or fictional movie are you going to base your life on, you know?
None of them?
Well, no, in America, you have the freedom to choose, so...
You do.
You get to choose which...
It's a fantastic country.
You get to choose how you delude yourself. All right, welcome to Modcast episode 40. Today we are
40 is the new 30.
Yeah, 40 is the new 30. All right.
I thought it was the new 25 now. I thought they moved it.
Oh, man. No, 25 is the new 30. 30 is the new 20. 40 is the new 30. I don't know. Anyways.
Is that not a Fuji reference?
No, it's just idiocy. That's what it is.
Okay. I heard it's in The Devil Wears Prada. That's why you ask.
Yeah. Today we've been joined with... Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Ferland.
Greetings, mortals.
Wouter, Locutus, Snyders.
Hello.
Peter, Maniac, Steenbeker.
Greetings, immortals.
Me, Tony Garrett, as I kill low, with our very special guest co-host, Tony the Capo Ruiz.
Hey.
All right. We've got a full show today. We've got so much planned. I would like to start today with saying I quit smoking cigarettes. I quit smoking.
For how long? So,
oh, man, that's...
It's been like 2.5 weeks.
That's pretty nice.
A month and 2.5 weeks.
Yes, exactly. But, as of the recording, I've been quit for 2.5 weeks, so...
By the time you hear this,
that's good, man.
We've either gone back to smoking, or we have quit for a month and a half.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'll let you all in on, by episode 341, I'll tell you how it goes, but, yeah. It's kind of like an old friend who's moving across the country, you don't see him anymore. That's how it really felt.
To quit smoking?
Yeah, to quit smoking... Felt like, imagine if, like, your one of your best buddies moves across the country, the one you hang out with every day, you know?
Well, not only did that happen, but I am a smoker.
Oh, you are a smoker. Well, that's what's good. That mixed in with horrible chemical withdrawals.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would expect.
Well, see, the missing friend part is the part where I really like to smoke cigarettes. Even the day I quit, I love the taste. I love smoking. It's just wonderful. It's just deadly. That's the only downside.
I first tried to quit when I was 21. I was working at a bar, and I tried to quit. Didn't work out.
Yeah, you can't.
Not in a bar.
Quit in a bar.
Well, now in a bar would be cool. Now it's illegal to smoke.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, you can have bars as quit smoking group areas now. They have little...
It was a couple years ago here in D.C. that they banned smoking.
Yeah, I remember the day they did it here. It was weird. I was at the bar. The bar was never smoky and cloudy again. All right.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is a good thing. Yeah, we got some kind of show to do. Okay.
In the other sketch pad, we talk about the Lord Believer's city set by Lord Tyrion.
In the Code Corner today, we discuss the So Far So Close restricted movement mod by TJ and Melandor, and we discuss the complex vassalage mod by F4S.
In the Modern Spotlight, we talk to Tony the Capo Ruiz.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. Alright. And I just really quickly wanted to, this is the Artist Sketchpad / shameless self-promotion area for Peter. Since he's the active modder, he gets shameless self-promotion. But Lord Tyrion released the Lord's Believer City set for Planetfall. And let me tell you right now, if you played Planetfall mod and you were hesitant to play the Believers, don't balk. Go and play a custom game as the Believers with Raging Barbarians on, and you'll have some fun. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I know. I never played the Believers myself in SMAC, but I intentionally try to make them more interesting in Planetfall.
Oh, yeah, they're way better in Planetfall. They're actually a dominant faction. But if you play on Raging Barbarians, that counters their benefit. They terraform the whole planet how they want it, but every time they terraform, the more mind worms come out. This is how Peter's coded. It's actually pretty fun. And there's more than just mind worms. But anyways, that's not the mod here. Where is the picture of this? Here's the download and screenshot here.
You have to click a couple of these. Oh, wait, I have better a couple better screenshots, but, you know.
Well, let's see what we're letting the listeners see, because, you know, we're going to comment. Oh, wow, that does look nice. That's an improved skin. Are those new models, too?
I didn't make them myself, but yes, I think so. So, Lord Tyrion made them. And,
they look like new models.
Yeah.
Wow. They look like the buildings are like different churches. Like there's a cathedral looking building. I don't know if that's the Civ Cathedral or if that's his cathedral, but there's a church next to it and another church. And then there's what looks like a Templar building. And then at the very end of the block is almost a Muslim, like, mosque looking building. It's like with minarets, but I mean, it's.
Which would be banned in Switzerland.
Swiss, you have given me yet another reason to despise you. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Now, I would have to say my only complaint is buildings look almost like they could fit on Earth. And, you know, it's like, they don't look, you know, they look like stone and everything. And I'm like, everything in Smack, it's supposed to be, this is like a giant, because, you know, remember, it's the atmosphere is full of too much nitrogen. So all the buildings have to be enclosed in Smack, you know.
The Leafs are the terraformers. They change the atmosphere so there's more oxygen. And of course we have to pretend there's a big pressure dome over there, but you know, that would make all the buildings harder to see. But you know, you just have to pretend that the Believers have terraformed the atmosphere. There's a technology for that in a Planetfall.
Well, you know what? They didn't have domes in SMAC either. And you know what? I
thought that for a secret project. Yeah. Terraform the atmosphere.
Well, no, they kind of do it as they go along. Like, they rip out fungus and plant trees that produce oxygen. They plant farms instead of native life, but farms give you -1 native anger token. So that means you're never going to be able to capture native wildlife alive, and they're going to start boiling. Like, in his mod, they start bubbling into one square, and they start getting more and more like a really big barbarian horde, and then they just bust out, and they just pop, like a big blister of you know, antibodies. They pop onto your sieve and attack it. It's brutal.
Unless you have bunkers nearby. Anyway, but...
Well, I'm saying, yeah, bunkers help.
Anyway, the reason why I suggested to discuss this is because, you know, in Pillar of Sabbath, it could also fit on Earth. Besides, for the Believers, it's also, you know, it kind of has a fantasy feel to it.
Yeah, this I could be applied to, say, Fall from Heaven or something.
Indeed. That's what I was thinking. So this is kind of a...
Well, yeah. Isn't that mod done?
But there are lots of mod modders and mod modders who continue to do their own thing. So I think
And let's not forget the mod
and modders. Beasts. So I think basically this could fit for the Banner or the Elohim or, you know, any kind of other civ that people want to add. So this was kind of a shout-out to these guys. Use this city set. Lord Tyrion will be very happy.
Yeah, so I like that. And as also, go download Planetfall, hosted at We Play Civ. We Play Civ has the best, most updated Planetfall news, including fresh off Peter's Maniac Mind patches for your Planetfall mod at WePlayCiv.com. Is it .com or .org?
.com.
.com.
Okay, .com. All right. WePlayCiv.com. All right. All right.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community.
We got, if you click that link, it has something showed called Complex Vassalage shown.
Well, personally, I'm interested in the fact that humans can become vassals of an AI. That's, yeah. It's fortunate that Wouter is on the show now, so I kind of wanted to ask him.
Really?
Why did Phyrexis decide...
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, Peter.
I know I've been fairly quiet, but I am here.
Yes, I said that.
Peter,
so, because he's on the show, I wanted to ask him, do you know why Phyrexis decided that the humans could not become vassals? Or is that under a non-disclosure agreement?
No, I can probably talk about it at this point. I don't think it really matters anymore, but I don't remember, really.
Because the code is there, a forest just had to make a very simple change to allow it.
I think there was a point at which it was possible, they decided not to, but I don't quite, it's been 3 years at this point, I don't remember.
Well, how would you have to redo the diplomacy to have a thing
now
where
you can
just
demand
takes
it.
Your resources?
You can, so I think you can say no, it's been a while since I messed around with it.
I don't think the AI is allowed to say no, though.
They can say no if you piss them off enough, I think.
Then of course, it's...
Well, they actually... I don't think they can even talk back unless they have a certain...
No, they can still talk back. They can refuse certain things. But, yeah, again, it's been such a long time since I even messed with that.
Yeah, basically, if a human asks an AI for resources and the AI is a vassal, then if he refuses, then it's war.
Yeah.
Of course, for a human, I don't know, that's kind of random. Personally, I would kind of prefer that a human vassal simply could not trade resources with anyone else than his master. That would avoid a lot of problems, I think.
Yeah.
And then it could be balanced that humans could be vassals.
I do, actually, humans can become vessels. It's disabled in the main game, but I know they explicitly left it open for modders to allow it. I was working on a mod for one of the expansions where that was actually sort of a key thing in there, and they left it open for other modders as well, because it never worked out with my mod. But, yeah, no, it is possible. I don't remember why, but you can't do it in the main game. And I guess this mod opens it up for the main game as well.
Well, then it's easy to do right here.
I could see the decision having been made mostly about gameplay. Of like, if the player is losing to the point where they have to become a vassal, then why do we want the player to keep remaining in that situation? I mean, the whole point about the game is winning. Players, like, we don't like to drag out a game. Okay?
Well, you know... Otherwise, if you are attacked by a civ that is much more powerful than you, without vassalage, the only solution is, you know, quitting the game. If you, however, now if you accept to become a vassal, you can still continue your game and you have a challenge to rebuild yourself and perhaps at a later date you can challenge your master. So in that sense, it's kind of a rubber band mechanic.
Yeah.
You can still...
but I'm saying...
You know, it kind of helps you if you are a weaker player.
That?
You can still stay in the game and try to get back. So
okay.
In that sense...
I think there were actually some exploits with it. I don't remember what it was, but there were some exploits that made Phyrexis decide, okay, we're not going to do this in the main game.
Well, which you could do.
But yeah, it is a cool idea. It would be kind of nice to have it in there. And I guess that's what this mod does.
Yeah, Tony?
If you're... Say you wanted to get like a cultural victory or something, you could probably use this to your advantage. You can get a powerful if you become a vassal of a powerful country, no one will attack you, and the AI will attack you because of that, because they'd be at war with them too, and you just, they might not like you, and it's easier to become a vassal, it's like a capitulation, they'll accept it rather than become your ally more readily, I think.
And does it is the possible exploit that I see too, perhaps, you know, just like in colonizations, the master could demand some gold every couple of turns, so that, you know, it would still be preferable to be free.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It might be possible to fix it, but, you know, for expansions, there's only so much time, and they decided to focus on other things. You can probably get it.
Yeah, they would have had to done a whole AI into that too, you know.
I think perhaps, you know, something for Civ 5.
All right. I have another little bit of code. Let's see what our time is.
Yeah, leather mod here, from the looks of it, it's a range-limiting effect.
Yeah, so far, so close, restricted movement mod by the J, Melindor, and Melindor. So I don't know who Melindor is, but I know who the J is.
Yeah, this works off your cultural borders and prevents your units from moving beyond a certain range outside of them. The ranges seem pretty restricted. He's got a range of 3 in the medieval era, a range of 6 in Renaissance. No, it's a 3 until the medieval era, and then 6 for medieval and Renaissance, and then industrial era, the range limits are dropped, so you can actually do a distant war. But, I mean, 3 is practically nothing. I don't see how you could even do anything. Until that point.
When I saw this, I immediately remembered this other mod that you build a fort and it grows culture out of the fort. That's the only thing I could think of that would make this viable.
Yeah.
Because you're right, three tiles is, that's not good. I'd say 5, maybe.
I think it's a cool idea. I mean, it's definitely adds.
Make that number of tiles increase with map size.
Yeah, that's another thing. It doesn't seem to be linked to map size.
One thing. Yeah. It would be more interesting maybe to not have an absolute limit on it, but you know, it costs you more maintenance the further you get from your borders, maybe something.
Oh,
then you
like
can go
layers. So for every 3 additional beyond your borders, it's like an additional gold.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, and make it like at distance 15 or distance 10, you get like a slowly mounting chance to have a galley sinking. You know what I'm saying?
No, random chance. That's just
bad.
Annoying random chance.
Bad idea.
I like it. I like that. You're like, okay, we're going far. Let's see how many units make it.
But I've for a long time, I've thought that naval units should actually operate on some kind of range limit, a bit like aircraft. But the idea would be it's from each of your harbors. You know, so every place you have a harbor, which would be any of your cities, and you could even build a harbor improvement somewhere. So it would be like a pretty long range. And your units would actually be pretty fast within that zone. So you can zip your ships around within this area where you have ports and harbors, but it's a limited range, so you can't just go blasting all over the whole world right away.
So how do you ever colonize a different continent, then?
Well, each unit has a different range. So as you discover new ships, they have longer range than your old ships. And then you get nuclear ships, and they have unlimited range.
The crux is like Leif Erikson and Columbus, who made it to the other continent, there has to be like a special unit, like I would say a great person that spawns like a great navigator that you join with one boat that has to be a special explorer vessel, and then that'll let you go as far as you can.
Yeah, I think that's more interesting than just taking your initial order and exploring the whole world with that. If you have, you know, those special units.
A great person.
Yeah, you could have promotions that add range. That's a pretty obvious thing. They already have that for aircraft in Civ 4.
But I'm saying make it like a great general, navigator.
But still, you see the point of that naval units in Civ have always sucked. Because
first thing, when I saw this mod comp, I thought of Master of Orion 1. There, your ships also has a limited range, and they can't go beyond that. So it's a proven concept that can work. Personally, I've also wanted Civ to always represent trade routes better. For instance, now if you just make contact with one Civ, you know them for the rest of the game. But for instance, if you had this mod comp, you could, for instance, break contact with another Civ if for some reason they are no longer in your movement range. I think that would make the game more strategic from where you come.
That I think that does actually happen in Civ 4.
No, it doesn't.
No, you don't.
I thought I remembered being unable to contact a Civ, but yeah, maybe I'm thinking
that happens in Rise and Fall.
Okay.
And Civ 3 does that too.
Yeah.
Well, I think then it's a pity I think that was left out. I think that's rather cool. For instance, you know, for instance, if you're
portable, well, I know an RFC lose contact.
For
Oh yeah.
Okay, never played that.
Rise Mega. Yeah, well, Rise mod is pretty hardcore, dude. You have to be pretty hardcore to want to play Rise.
Personally, I just don't play because it's on a huge map. If they made a version which played on a normal size map, standard size, I would try it out. So,
if you can put up with your very first turn taking 30 seconds, then you can put up with this mod.
No, it's just my computer is so old that huge size maps are just very slow to play on. It isn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The very first turn is already at wait, you know.
Yeah, and all the other turns for me too, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it only goes down from there, because Civ saves get exponentially larger.
Okay, of course, especially even the more players also, I guess his mod has certainly more than 18 players, right?
Yeah, Ryan's done some crazy
things. Come and go.
His mod is yeah, you can, if you want to, and the weird thing is, if you want to play as America, you've got to let the game autoplay until you get to the point where you're at America. So, it's nuts. But, this is an interesting mod. I just, you know, this mod's great. Was a great idea to get a lot of good ideas out there. And you know what? Maybe a modder's listening will steal one of those ideas and make a cool mod of their own. And maybe the guy who did this one?
TJ.
Yeah, the J. And Melanor. Yeah, wasn't the J on the show?
Is he the Mars Now guy? I don't know.
Yeah. He was on the show. That's the Mars Now guy.
Modding Spotlight, where we interview and talk about modders and what they do in the Civ community.
Tony.
Yes.
You made it onto the show. We're really glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on it.
Well, thank you. And, we wanted to know, we've covered a bunch of your artwork, but I don't think we've ever covered your mods. So, you know, we're going to look at some of the artwork, but what is the mod that you have been working on?
It's not, like, most mods are pretty extensive in what they add. I try to steer away from that. It's made for multiplayer games initially. I originally made it to play Diplo games at Apolliton. And I kind of got a lot of help from people at Cincinnatics, so I wound up kind of sticking around there and making a mod there. This one I'm working on now is less for MP games, so there's going to be a lot more features in it than there were in the first one. Now, all I did really was I added, like, Inquisitors, some extra religions. I added leaders so you can have different trait combos for other civilizations without playing with unrestricted leaders. And then just a lot of graphic changes. That was the first edition. This one's going to have a lot more features, like capturing slaves from combat when you're in Slavery Civic.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to do the Super Spies, try to do the Super Spies promotions if I can. The only issue with that is the current version of it is set up with Rev DCM, and I hear that that's not really MP compatible, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's something that very ever tried to do.
But we'll see, I'll figure it out.
Picky. I wonder how many people ever actually play multiplayer mods. I mean,
I think they're going to try to make the next version of Rev DCM compatible. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, just wait a little, and then probably.
Yeah, get a hold of those guys for sure.
Nice.
I played Second Revolution 2.0. on multiplayer for about 15 terms while I was still beta in it before it crashed.
Well, this
I was pretty happy.
It's made for Diplo games. What they do there is, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's, I wouldn't say it's role playing, but what you do is you post on what's going on in your civilization on a thread, and you kind of negotiate on this thread. So people will post pictures of what's going on, like their armies and all that. And we just thought it would be better if there were flavor units, so it looked more like, if you were Greece, your units look Greek. If you were, like, you know, Zulu, they looked Zulu. So that was the original concept behind it, and I kind of went a little far with it. But, you know, I don't know.
So originally it was more of a graphical, ethnically diverse
initially, yeah.
Improvement.
Yeah, and then the new religions added, they don't change anything. It's not, like, there's not different features with them. They're the same as the regular religions. And they were just there to kind of add flavor to it. So if you were like the Mayans or the Aztecs, you didn't have to be Muslim or Buddhist.
Oh, sweet.
So that was the idea initially.
All right, that makes sense.
But, you know, a lot of people started playing it. They had these new suggestions for me. So I just kind of started modding, and I guess I got the bug and kept doing it. I've only really been modding for about less than a year, really.
You hear that, Ken? He's a noob.
I am a noob.
Hey, we all have to start somewhere, right?
You do.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I was excited to have you on is, actually, I was talking to a week or so before today, and you had mentioned that Modcast was one of the things that got you modding and listening to Modcast early on in your modding career. When that really struck me as really cool of you to say. How has that worked?
It's worked pretty well. I mean, I didn't really know much about it when I started. The first thing I did was leaderheads. Ekmek helped me out, actually taught me how to make leaderheads, really. So I would just tune into your show and just get ideas, like see what other mods are doing, and try to incorporate it if I could. Now, obviously, I'm still not that great at it. There's definitely room for improvement in a lot of ways, but, you know, your show definitely helped out a lot. In a sense, I never really listened to it before I started modding, to be honest. I listened to Polycast from time to time, but it wasn't until I started modding, I started listening to Modcast. It's not helpful in the sense that, like, literally teach me how to do things, but it's good for getting ideas and just kind of learning, like, what goes through people's minds when they're making their mods.
Oh, did we manage to corrupt you sufficiently? I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
they started off just people's files before the SDK even came out.
Now we feel special.
To a small degree, it's good, though. But, I mean, what I did, what I suggest to other people who want to start modding is I would download mods and kind of look through them and see what was done for the XML and all that. I have no experience working with code at all, so that everything I know about is based on basically stealing things from other people's mods. So, thanks, guys.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I was one of the first people to start modding back in Kale and, you know, the Moon mod.
Those early leader heads, pretty good.
You know, half of the mods were just barely graphical mods, you know what I'm saying? And we had to learn.
I remember that the leader heads have gotten way better.
Yeah, and then we had to trial and error all those XML tags. Turn it on, load the game, see what it did, turn it off.
Well, that's pretty much what I did. I took one of the first ones I played was probably Amra's mod, and then Varietas Delicat and what was it? The Thomas War mod. Those are the ones that kind of got me into it. Because I'd play them and I go, well, this leader head could be better, or this should be like this. And then from there, I just kind of learned how to do things. And then I have to learn how to make leader heads. Once you do that, you get Blender down, you can pretty much make units. It just kind of expands from there. So if you want a mod, I would. What I say usually to people is I'm not as good as the leaderheads look. I'm just good at making them look like this. Like some of them, if you look at them in Nifscope or something, you'll find out they're like pieces of crap. I don't know if that makes sense.
Do you ever use the Nif Viewer?
I don't. I don't use that at all. I use Nifscope and I use Blender. That's what I use.
You remember when I took a paratrooper and redid his body and kept the animations all intact, I used the Nif Viewer.
Well, I should look into that, probably.
Look for the Rabbit White tutorial on the Nif Viewer, and you will learn how to rebone units. That sounds kind of sexy.
To rebone?
Reboning a unit.
There's nothing like the first.
Should I ask my wife to do that? It's like, hey, baby, can we rebone? I don't know if it sounds more or less retarded the more we say it.
I think it gets worse.
I think I get what you're saying. There's basically a reward for doing all gameplay portions of the thing.
Yes, Tony, can I ask a gameplay question about your mod?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wonder, why did you include Inquisitions? Because personally, I don't see any situation at all where I would want to remove a religion from it.
Well, you have to...
Can you explain?
Yeah, sure. You have to remember that it was made for a Diplo game. What you're doing is just sort of... how do I say this? You're basically acting like a leader of a civilization. You're only playing with humans. So some people will say, look, I need you to get rid of this religion. You got to adopt my religion. We're going to go to war with this religion. It's sort of like a role-playing game in a sense in that way. So that's why we wanted it there.
Okay.
It's not like...
So basically... Okay, so So it's bad gameplay, but you don't really care during typical game.
No, you don't.
It's like that.
You win. It's kind of complicated. You vote every month on certain aspects of the game, like diplomacy, story posts, military tactics, things like that. So you can win the game, but not win the difference.
Oh yeah,
confusing. It's pretty nerdy, but it's confusing. Well, the game score and all that is incorporated into the final score you get. So you do get credit for, you know, having high culture or, you know, conquering everybody. You get credit for all that stuff, but there's also votes from the players that count as well.
That does sound like fun.
You know what would be sick is if you made like an in-game interface for player votes or something like that.
We are working on that, actually.
That would be it. Oh, I'm spoiling your secrets. See, that's what I was thinking.
It's not really a secret. I'm not secretive.
Oh, yeah, sure, Mr. Government. oh, sorry, that was a low blow. No, but seriously, like, the fact that you're making a multiplayer mod makes this mod, like, ten times more interesting to me than when I first thought. I was like, okay, this is a good mod. It's got all this and this. And then now you tell me that you're directing that towards a diplomacy game multiplayer. That is absolutely fascinating. And I actually signed up for a Diplo game once, but I was too much of a coward to play in it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of dedication in a way. You got to, now they play it on Pitboss, so I haven't had as much time to do it. Normally it was a weekly session, so I'd be able to have a day where I just play the game. But now it's like some of them want to play like two turns a day, and it's difficult keeping it. But, you know, I started this mod originally about 2 years ago. This is a personal mod, really, for us to play with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm still working on it, even though I haven't been playing in Diplo games in a while. But I do intend on going back and at least giving it to them so they can use it.
Well, so I've always been a proponent that we start some multiplayer leagues. We have enough. We have at least 3 major fan sites. We could each have a fan site league. I want to see some stuff like that. That would be sick. It's like CFC versus We Play Civ. Well, what site is it?
There is a site for that.
Civ League or something?
It's the Civ 4 ladder site. I mean, they have leagues and ladders and all that stuff there.
But do they have like a CFC league versus the We Play Civ league?
I don't think the community is big enough for that.
Yes, there still remains mostly single player games. So
not that many people play multiplayer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't play multiplayer because I don't have 12 hours a day to play.
Well, there's of course a big boss, but that still takes, I don't know, a year or more than a year to complete the game. So it's still.
Now, pit boss is like played by email, right?
No, it's not. No. It's like the game's up on a server, pretty much consistently.
And is there like a background program taking care of that, or
isn't the usual solution to have?
I think so. On the server. I haven't hosted it.
Yeah, but I think it's like not live, I guess so. And so you open your PitBoss program, that updates your game server, your upsave, and then you do your turn and updates the server.
Everyone should PM the capo to get the game directly.
Well, you play on the server. The game is running on the server. You log into the server, you play a turn, you log out again, and then everyone does that. Once everyone does that, the turn advances, and then you start all over
again. Can you just stay logged in like a multiplayer game?
you could.
Yeah, if everyone stays logged in, you can play real time.
So then you would haul ass and do a bunch of turns that everyone wanted. Okay, that's actually superior to play by email. That's awesome. I never understood Pit Boss.
I'm cold.
Well, no, but I don't play multiplayer in Pit Boss. This doesn't tell me anything.
The problem is just that someone can still play 2 turns right off each other, and so if he doesn't attack in that turn or in those 2 turns, it can be really devastating. That's why I've.
Well, we had rules for you couldn't take what we called multiple turns in a row. Like if you're the last person to play, we only did this for war. If you're the last person to play and you're at war with somebody else, you can't move the next turn until they do.
Yeah, I'm getting close to attack like, twice in a row was you know who.
No, it's a rule in the game. We would
it's pretty much a rule in almost all multiplayer games. But you can't do a double turn.
Yeah, if somebody did it, which did happen, we would reboot the game.
Yeah.
And if they did it again, we'd kick them out. Although there was an issue in our last one where the host did it, so kind of didn't end up well, which is kind of why.
Oh, so the admin cheated. Yeah. Oh man, that would be. Holocaust in so many games.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into who it was because it's pretty bad. But
No. We don't want names. We don't want their dirty names.
I kind of want to say it, though, but whatever.
You want to say it? Well, it depends on who it is. Is he an Apollotoner?
Oh, he's... Yeah. This would certainly cause something, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I think there's enough drama in multiplayer communities as it is. Let's not get ourselves involved in that.
Well, hey, but, you know, the listeners are probably wondering. Fair, sure. I'm just trying to get, you know what I'm saying?
I don't want to get
Hey, let me guess. Yeah, yeah. PM Capo. Here's his email address.
I just sent it to you.
His address.
Tony. That's who it was. So I'm not going to say it.
Where is it? Oh, you just sent it to me in the little chat window or something.
That's right.
Now
you know why.
No, I'm not going to tell her. That guy's too... That Wow.
I want to know too.
No. He's too big in the community for me to tell you what he is. I am shocked and appalled.
Scandals on the podcast. Oh, my God.
Yes, there's a scandal. You heard it, listeners. You come here for your drama. Don't tune into the TV. NBC's got nothing on this.
Take that, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, man. And that's why I watch The Daily Show, so I don't have to watch that on the news and feel ashamed. What did Tiger Woods do? Someone crashed a party. Oh. Okay, sorry. Too much news.
This guy's probably going to give you a very nasty private message now.
He should.
He will.
Like, say, we'll never forget, buddy. Just say that to him.
You know who you are, and you know you screwed me.
Oh, my God. I'm busting my side.
No, who, me? No, it's not specifically that, but it's similar to that. I don't want to get into it, because if I went into detail, anyone could find out who I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
All right.
Okay, we have how many leaders here? About 24. All kinds of periods. And
if you go down to this next couple cells underneath that one, there's the Tamerlane one I worked on with Igor S. And then I have some works in progress previews as well.
Now, who is Tamerlane? It looks kind of...
Who? Yeah, so Tamerlane?
Late era Mongol, basically, from... yes,
yeah, so he's Mongol Turkic.
Yeah. A vast empire. Oh.
Timurid.
I know about the Timurids.
Have piles of skulls or something.
Well, there, that's Tamerlane.
Who said Timurid?
I did. Oh,
Timur the Lame, did you do him?
No, that's, Tamerlane. If you go to the Leaderhead Gallery, it should...
You said Tamerlane. Oh,
he was Timur, but...
Name. Okay.
Timur
the Lame. He had a lame leg or something.
Yes. Tamerlane is the European way of pronouncing his name.
It's like the Old English. Okay, yeah. Because I actually go historically. I didn't know he was named that. I didn't know. All right, then. I think Alex Trebek could have to go either way on that, you know.
Yeah, so how do you select what leaders you're going to do? Do them more by requests? How do you select which leaders? You do it more by finding requests or leaders that are interesting to you personally?
Well, the first few, if you go there and see the first four and then Solomon, that's when I was learning to make leaderheads. So I just kind of did different, I don't know, just things I was interested in. The next ones are all European. I made them for European modules for my mod. So you could, when we're playing the games, if you wanted to be a different civ, you could just plug that in, just put the folder in the mod and then play it. So I had Finland, Poland, Bulgaria. I think I had like 14 different European countries I made them for. They're all pretty much made for modules, actually. Suzabletis was a request by Vernier. Hitler I worked on with Ekmek. And who else? I'm trying to remember. Chuggy was involved, sort of. And the Coyote helped us do the animation on that. Hiawatha was a request. Alexander, I just thought that Alexander in the game looked bad, so...
Yeah. If only Phyrexis had been Alexander who looked like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a face peel there on Alexander, isn't it?
And then the Greek ones...
I didn't label these links.
The Greek, the Pyrrhus there is actually just Alexander. I wanted to do something with the old leaderhead. So I threw a helmet on him and rescanned him. Heracleus, I don't even know why I made that. So I don't know, it's a combination. I just kind of do whatever.
Oh, your Alexander looks really... Really
well, that was Bernie and Ekmek. I mean, I made the model for the helmet and his clothes, and then Bernie kind of fixed those up a little bit. And then,
the clothes and the helmet look good, too. The whole thing is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a really good figurehead. And we made it.
It's greater than some of all its parts, you know.
There was a debate on the color his hair should be and his eyes and all that. So, actually, if you download that, you can change his hair color to blonde. You can change his eyes to blue or brown. Or one blue, one brown. Supposedly, he has two different color eyes. You can use either bronze or silver colored armor. I prefer the darker hair with the bronze armor, so that's the one I put up. But there are other versions of that same Alexander you can use in your games.
I thought I was tripping on his eyes, but I have a friend who has two different color eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if it was true or not, but supposedly he had two different colored eyes, which was supposed to signify something in ancient Greece, so I'm not really...
Well, we have to base off is things written on pots and weird poems, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then, you know, like, there's coins and pottery that would depict them, but, you know, back in those days, when you depicted a leader, you had to make them look good or else you might wind up on the wrong end of the spear, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that was the fun of being a leader back then, though. I mean, really.
It still is.
Watch out for one of Obama's death panels now.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see here.
So, DiCapo, what's your opinion about the Phyrexis art direction? The vanilla leader heads are kind of cartoonish. Do you agree with that choice, or do you prefer more realistic ones?
I don't know. Whatever looks better. Like, some of them, like Coach Ice there, he's basically just Ramses. I don't know if you can tell, but that's just Ramses. I didn't mess with the face at all. So some of my leader heads, obviously, are going to look more realistic than others. I don't really have a preference, as long as they look good.
Mm-hmm. You do the job, you know?
Yeah, as long as they look good.
Hey, can I make a leader head request right now?
Sure.
It's going to be a tough one, though.
I'm backed up, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're backed up, well, I want to see a Sub-Commander Marcos, and I can't figure out how to do it.
Who's Sub-Commander Marcos?
So you don't know who Sub-Commander Marcos is? He's Citizen Zero from Mexico. Have you heard of the Zapatistas?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a guy who wears a...
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He's this old
guy
who, if you do him, he has to wear a black mask covering his whole face, and he has a pipe. He's the weirdest dude, but he's a professor from Mexico City. He's a teacher.
That'd be easy to make, man.
Really? You think you could make him?
I can make him.
All right. Again, because some
I'll make Marcus. Him. Don't be on my ass about it, but I can make
no,
him.
No. My mod is so... Did I tell you I'm trying to restart my mod?
No, you didn't. I saw it.
Yeah, Tony, you've only mentioned like the last...
Yeah, I'm actually trying to restart it, so that's why I just wanted some Commander Marcos. Because I'm thinking about switching to all 3D leader heads. Because I used to use static.
I mean, like, if he's wearing a mask, like, anything you could do to cover up the face or the head or anything, it really helps. It makes it a lot easier.
He's got
That's
a
why those
balaclava
Greek guys have
on.
Helmets on.
You know, he's got a balaclava on, so...
Yeah, I could probably.
That's how he looks. That's his image.
Right, I could do that.
And he's got the red scarf. And see, I've already got Obama and Bush, so now there's going to be two ways you can fight. You can do either or, so it's going to be great. I'm also excited to have you on the show, and we appreciate you coming on. We've done a lot of your art, believe it or not, in the artist sketchpad. We've covered some great mods you've done. Where are you going with your modding now? What do you plan on modding in the future?
Well, right now, I'm finishing up one mod. I got all the hard stuff done, like the real time-consuming things, like the new leaders, the flavored units, cities, and all that. Now I just got to do a lot of Python and XML, just add a bunch of different features, and I got to make about 10 more leader heads for it, and then,
Wow.
But it really doesn't take long to make a leader head. If you just give yourself, you can make one in a day, as long as you just give yourself an appropriate amount of time. So
yeah.
I could probably finish it up in a couple months. So.
One time I had to do like 8 leader heads in 1 week.
Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, like some of them are pretty easy. Like I'm making a Nasser leader head, and he wears a suit, so that's easy to do. Like certain things, like the Tamerlane one, that's a lot more involved because you got to put together their outfit. out of nothing. Like Alexander, that took a long time to make that outfit, for example. So it just depends on what it involves.
So are you going to be focusing more on the mod, or are you going to be doing a whole bunch more artwork? So are you going to be going one way or the other ever?
Well, most of the artwork I do is for my mods. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
If I need a specific unit, I'll make it. If I need a leader head, I'll make it. The next, I kind of was toying with the idea of doing a Conquistadors mod, using like the sort of basing it around the Charlemagne mod that comes with BTS.
Oh.
Like where you get favor with the Pope, instead of that, you get favor with the King of Spain, and instead of a Civ, you're just the Conquistadors are basically mercenaries hired out. So you'd be leading a group of conquistadors. And you'd be competing with other conquistadors to get favor with the king, and he gives you money or units or whatever, and that's the idea. But
Can you hold on to cities you capture and start using them?
Yeah, you govern the cities and all that.
Oh, that's cool.
But the idea is like you spread the religion, you conquer you get the gold from the natives and all that, and then the king will give you certain goodies for doing that, and then you'd have minor tribes, and you'd have like bigger ones like the Aztecs or the Inca that are a little harder to take down.
It almost sounds like reverse colonization, where instead of fighting the king, and you're getting favors from the king, and you're fighting the natives. I see. That's interesting.
Fighting for the man rather than against him.
Yeah, exactly. It works. All right. Well, I'm going to say thanks for giving us all this time, and we're looking forward to see what you get. Send me a link when you make some new sick-ass thing. I'll throw it right in.
All right, thanks for having me.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast, or
Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series official website at thepolycast.net.
All right, so, Tony, you're probably wishing you didn't have the same name as me now, I'm sure, because I've probably made a fool of myself about a dozen times over.
That's all right.
All right. No, I might just go have a little whiskey hidden away. I might just drink that up in sorrow after the show. For, you know, just generally being appalling. And we have four listeners, which one of which is Soren, which is good. But, you know, three of them, they hear the show and they're like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Well, I'll tell you what's
wrong. Well, that keeps them coming back.
I know, but, you know, it's because the listeners, those three listeners, have screwed up themselves, and they just want to...
Everybody loves a train wreck.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, we're all gonna wallow in our misery, and, but anyways, it was a fun episode.
Oh, wait, I mean, not, our guest, career.
Oh, yeah, we're not gonna discuss...
Go ahead and not.
Yeah, because we've had like two super secret agents on our show. We had Ekmek, and now this guy, and we've got.
He sure wants us to think he is
an agent. Agent.
Oh man, now we already know too much. Now there's black choppers flying over.
Oh man, this is gonna be the last episode.
Yeah.
Of
But yeah. But thank you for coming on, bro. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Did you have fun?
I enjoyed it. Thanks.
All right. All right. Today, we have been joined with Wouter, Lacutus, Snyders.
Bye-bye.
Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Verland.
Farewell.
Peter, Maniac, Steenbeka.
See you later.
And me, Tony Garrett, Zaka Keel. Hello. Goodbye. With our very... special guest co-host, Tony, the Capo Ruiz.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right on. Well, hey, listeners, just thought I'd let you know, we might be changing our schedule to about one or two episodes a month, so we'll hear from you sometime soon. Keep your eyes out. Thanks. Goodbye.
Record date. Civilization 4 Warlords Beyond the Sword sound clips, copyright Take Two Interactive. Copyright 2009 Civilized Communications at civcom.net.